From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, August 28th, 2025. Police in Maine have used the state's yellow flag gun law more than 1,000 times to temporarily take away weapons from dangerous people. State officials say that figure shows the law is working, but as Kevin Miller reports, voters will still see an alternative red flag proposal on this November's ballot.
Maine's so-called yellow flag law, which allows a judge to order someone to relinquish their guns, was used only 81 times during the first 3 years it was on the books. But since the October 2023 mass shooting in Lewiston, police have used the law more than 900 times against people believed to pose a danger to themselves or others. Michael Soschuk, who is commissioner of the Maine Department of Public Safety, says it took time to streamline the process and educate police about using the law.
I read five of these this morning. You know, these things are active. They are occurring every day. The process is effective. It is saving lives in this state every single day. So it works.
Not everyone agrees the law is as effective as it could be, however. This November's ballot features a red flag referendum question that would add Maine to the roughly 20 other states that allow individuals to go straight to a judge rather than to police if they think a family member is too dangerous to keep their guns. Supporters say that will make it easier for family to get help for a loved one in a dangerous crisis. The law proposed in question two would also not require a mental health assessment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The city of Lewiston has condemned the downtown building that houses the syringe exchange program known as the Church of Safe Injection. Code enforcement officers and police inspected 195 Main Street Wednesday after receiving a call that a door was open. Officials say they found thousands of used needles scattered throughout the property, unsecured sharps containers, evidence of unauthorized people sleeping in the basement, and extensive filth. The city says it's notified the Maine CDC, which licenses syringe service programs. The executive director of the Church of Safe Injection says there was a recent break-in, and the city is exaggerating and sensationalizing the situation to portray it as a failure of their operations. They say they're being targeted as the city council considers an ordinance that would restrict syringe exchange programs. Maine Senator Susan Collins says she's alarmed by the sudden termination of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Susan Manares.
I know her. I have met with her several times and talked with her on the phone, and I see no basis for her firing.
Manares was in her position less than a month before being ousted by the White House. Her attorney says she refused to rubber stamp directives and fire health experts. Collins joined Republican colleagues in confirming Manares and Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a vaccine skeptic who has made major changes to the country's vaccination policies. The Maine Public Health Association is also denouncing the firing. Associate Director Matt Wellington says forcing out experts like Dr. Manares turns the agency into a, quote, misinformation circus. Wellington says public health professionals' concerns that Kennedy would weaken the agency's scientific integrity are playing out in real time. He says that dismantling the U.S. CDC directly threatens all Mainers' health. The Maine Community College System's early enrollment is up for a third straight year at nearly 16,000 students. Maddie Smith has more.
Statewide, enrollment increased roughly 3% from last year, with four of the seven system colleges seeing higher enrollment. Central Maine Community College had the largest growth, with an almost 14% increase over last year. Northern Maine, Washington County, and York County Community Colleges all saw enrollment declines compared to last year. Northern Maine saw the largest decline at 10%. Enrollment this year includes the last class of students eligible for the state's free community college program. Funding to continue the program did not make it into Governor Janet Mills' biennial budget this spring. These data are preliminary, and official fall enrollment figures are calculated on October 15th.
Maddie Smith reporting. State police say an 8-year-old girl was struck and killed by an ambulance in Van Buren Wednesday afternoon. According to a press release, Emma Cormier was crossing Main Street and was hit by the ambulance, which was not responding to an emergency call at the time. Cormier was treated at the scene by emergency responders but succumbed to her injuries. Police identified the driver as 46-year-old Amanda Skidgel. The incident is still under investigation. For nearly 20 years, incarcerated individuals in Maine have been taking college classes for credit. Hundreds have graduated with associate, baccalaureate, and even advanced degrees. Recently, 45 prisoners have been hired by outside companies to do remote jobs from their cells. In the first of a two-part report, Susan Sharon explains why this approach is being viewed by some as a model to change life in prison and beyond.
The day she was released from prison, Christy Titonia knew she'd be back. She had a job lined up at Duncan, making about $17 an hour, but she had no transportation, no place to live, and barely any savings.
I think I had like $1,000 when I left. You know, I had only been able to work for 7 weeks, so I didn't have a lot. I had no clothing. I was in tears when I left because I was just like, I'm going to return, you know? And that's how it is for a lot of the women.
A sponsor helped Titonia find a room and a car. She says that wasn't enough to keep her life on track.
Can't afford things. And, you know, you turn right back to doing and selling drugs. Or you start selling them and then it leads to your relapsing.
Convicted of drug charges, Titonia has another 2.5 years on her sentence. And she's back at the Maine Correctional Center for a third time. It's a pattern, says Maine Corrections Commissioner Randall Liberty, for people who have experienced years of trauma, substance use disorder, or mental health issues.
Putting someone in a correctional setting, locking them up for 23 hours a day, releasing them 5 years later, and having a high likelihood that they'll return, that system doesn't work.
In Maine, the rate of return to prison after 3 years is about 25%. But Liberty says there is a way to stop the revolving prison door.
And what we found is if you received a college degree at the Maine Department of Corrections, you come back at about a rate of 0.05%. And that bounces a little bit back and forth. But it's always less than 1% come back. And that compares with a national average of 60% coming back.
A study by the Prison Policy Initiative finds that about half of formerly incarcerated people hold a high school diploma. Many are considered functionally illiterate. They may have limited computer and other skills. So Liberty says meaningful educational programming and a vocation are essential, along with drug treatment and counseling.
Okay, so today we'll learn what are data types in SWIFT, what are variables and constants, and how do we use them in Xcode?
At the Maine Correctional Center, Christy Titonia is one of 11 women taking a computer coding class for college credit. It's week 5 of a 22-week pilot program that's funded by Apple and private foundations.
This over here is called the Project Navigator. This is where
Shanice Brown is the class instructor. She's with Unlocked Labs, a St. Louis, Missouri-based nonprofit working to break the cycle of reincarceration through education and employment in software development and other technology fields.
And I just take it nice and slow. It's like in the Army when it's like no man left behind. Like we literally just do not move forward if everyone is not caught up, you know?
A few of the women have college degrees. A few are still working on their GEDs. Titonia says she'd taken computer classes before, but nothing as challenging as this.
Initially, when you first get into it, it's just like overwhelming. Literally, you want to throw the laptop sometimes, but you just have to talk yourself through it.
It's been a chance to push myself out of my comfort zone and prove that I'm capable of learning something completely new because I've never done this before.
Hillary Goading is serving 19 years for manslaughter. She pleaded guilty after her 3-year-old daughter died of a fentanyl exposure. She says she lives with sadness and the weight of her mistakes every day, and she had resigned herself to thinking she was doomed to a lifetime of despair.
But this opportunity has made me feel intelligent and valuable and even hopeful. So it reminded me that I'm more than my past and my mistakes and that I still have something meaningful to offer.
As part of the course, each woman must use the skills they've learned to design a website or an app to help those involved with the criminal justice system.
I'm just super excited. I'm super stoked for, to see what these women are going to come up with. We got some things up our sleeve, like for real. We really do.
Instructor Shanice Brown is impressed with some of the prototypes, such as Jackie Smollett's website to prevent recidivism.
The site that I want to build is pretty much an interactive platform that will be a resource center for people looking to, you know, reintegrate back into society and have resources there that to help them.
Smollett expects to be released in another year. She lost her home and her auto detailing business after being convicted for drug charges, so she'll be starting from scratch. But she and others have applied for remote work, and they're hoping the coding class will give them a leg up while they're in prison and after they get out.
I think that they're very tenacious. I think that they're very brave. I think that they have initiative, which is something you can't teach.
Learning to code is one thing, but Brown says getting these women to change their minds about themselves and what they can achieve, that's rehabilitation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Tomorrow, we'll take a look at how Maine's first-of-its-kind remote work policy is changing prison culture by allowing residents to save money in better-paying jobs. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, street names. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.